Hey, welcome back to Dad Space. It's Dave. You're your host here on Dad Space. It's episode 100 of Dad Space. That's right. 100 episodes in the can. Wow. And if you've been here for 100 episodes of Dad Space, you deserve some sort of prize. Let me see. What do I got? I have a half-drank cup of coffee, which is now cold. I have two pens without lids and a highlighter. There you go. So act now. Limited supplies. They're going fast. Over at dadspace.ca. Welcome to Dad Space. I have something I want to chat with you about today that's going to be a little different. And I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Dad Space. So I had a very interesting conversation with somebody in my circle of people that I come in contact with on a regular basis. And they came up to me and they said, Dave, first time I met you, I was afraid of you. Well, that's a way to start a conversation, right? The first time I met you, I was afraid of you. And I said, okay, can you explain? Like, because we're at a different place now in our relationship, our friendship, but explain, what was it about me that made you nervous or afraid? Because I want to fix that, obviously. And they said, it seemed like you just weren't out there and super excited to meet people. And I didn't know if you were judging me. So I said to them in that moment, listen, I'm a very introverted person. I will gladly talk to you and build a relationship with you, but I don't go out of my way to do that because it's uncomfortable for me as an introvert to put myself out there. Now, you might say, Dave, that sounds like an excuse, and it might just be, but that's how I'm wired. If you and I get to meet each other and get to know each other, you'll find I'm not introverted around you because I'm comfortable around you. When I meet a bunch of people, a bunch of strangers, I don't know how to act. I don't know if we're going to get along or not. And for me, I just default to my setting of doing my thing, being comfortable in my own skin, and I really don't need what an extrovert needs when they walk into a room and the energy of the room fills their cup. I find I'm the opposite. The energy in the room depletes my cup and I want to go home. So that's kind of where I see myself in the world. And what's interesting is people, they look at me as an introvert and think that I'm stuck up, I'm angry, I'm a snob, I'm not very inviting or friendly because I don't interact. I kind of stick to myself on breaks, at lunch, before and after work. I don't get caught up in all the little stuff that people seem to be gravitating towards when they are more extroverted than I am. And so I get labeled as someone who is angry or unaccepting or someone that nobody would want to be around. And what's interesting is this person that talked to me is on their own journey, which I have to explain to you at the beginning here that I don't completely understand their journey. I am learning, I'm trying, but I'm just not there yet. So as I go through this, I'm going to say things in this recording that I probably won't say years from now because I have learned more in that period of time. I'm on a journey of learning. So if I do say something that is not correct, please let me know because I don't want to make anyone feel awkward in the conversation today here on Dad Space because that's not my intent. Okay, I want you to understand something, everyone listening, that we are all on our own separate journeys. And just because you've arrived at a location doesn't mean the rest of you, people around you, have. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that you might arrive at the finish line where you have wanted to be, where you feel drawn to, you're celebrating something. And when you look around, there's no one else there with you celebrating, your family, your friends, your closest confidants, because they haven't run the race that you've run. They might be a few steps behind and they're coming, they're on their way, but they're just not there yet. So in that moment, you might feel like nobody cares because you've arrived at your destination and there's no one there to greet you. And I'm experiencing this with this person that was nervous around me at work, in that when I first met this person, they were one of the guys at work. And that's how I knew them from day one. Now, this person is on a journey and they are transitioning to a woman. So the person that I know in that former context is now in a new context. And a lot of people around them don't accept this person in their journey. They don't accept who they're becoming or how they identify. And in that moment, they feel left out, alone, nervous around other people. They feel like they're being judged, just like I was being judged for being kind of arrogant or not very kind or very friendly. Remember, it's my insecurities around being in public and being more of an introvert. That's what's being on display there. I'm not an arrogant person. I'm not an angry person. I'm not someone to fear. I'm someone that deals with my introvert nature and tendencies by being more reclusive. That's who I am. And it's who I've been my entire life. I've been doing it for 54 years, and it's not something you can change overnight. Now, this person, because they saw me as, for who I am, a white male in his 50s, that they didn't feel comfortable around me having the conversation of their transition because they felt that I would be judgmental, that I wouldn't understand, that I wouldn't be accepting. And it's interesting because as a uneducated white male in this space, I'm always nervous, and I've actually made mistakes where I've referred to this person in past context, you know, and they say, where is this person? Oh, the last time I saw them. And I would say he was up at the front. And I'm like, oh, crap. And in that moment, I'm like, oh, I did it. I did the thing. And I know, and I feel inside of me, I'm like, oh, I gotta, I'm so upset at myself in the moment because I said something that I shouldn't have, and I could get in trouble for doing that. I caught myself as the words were coming out of my mouth, and I know I can do better. I know I can do better. As you go back through my podcast episodes for Living the Next Chapter and Dad Space and the How to Podcast series and on and on and on, I've had the joy and privilege of having people on my screen who see the world differently than I do. And in that moment, I get to listen and learn and hear their struggles, hear their fight uphill against hate and people who talk down to them. And it takes me back to something I talked about in the past on podcast. And if you're new here, hi, my name is Dave. And one of the things I talked about was this whole principle about holding space for someone, holding the door. You know, when you come up to like a big building and they don't have the automatic doors that open and close for you as you approach, you actually manually have to grab the door handle and open the door, right? Physically do that. And I know I come up to doors often with my hands full. I might have my kids in with me or parcels or packages or bags from the grocery store. And I'm coming up to the door and there's someone ahead of me. And I'm like, oh, if I'm going to have to set all these bags down on the ground to open the door, can you just hold the door for me? In that moment, the person ahead of me looks back at me and makes a judgment call. Do I want to help the person behind me or not? I might have to stand here and wait a couple seconds while they get to the door. And in that moment, do I really want to help that person? Do I really want to acknowledge their presence? And I think this goes both ways. Now, hear me out here. For this person that I know in my circle who is transitioning, again, remember, this person thought that I was angry, unapproachable, that I wouldn't accept them, and they misread me. So in that moment, they made a judgment call, like standing at the door looking down, back at me going, oh, that guy doesn't accept people like me, so I'm not holding the door for them. Okay. Now, it could be the other way, where I'm at the door and I'm looking back at someone who identifies differently than I do, and I'm making a judgment call. Does that person in this moment value? Are they valuable? Do I inconvenience myself and stand here and hold the door for that person? However I frame what my personal view of them is, do I do that in the moment or not? Think of a rich person who's got money falling out of their pockets, standing there and holding the door open for a homeless person, or vice versa, right? You can apply this to everything. And as I learned this, I need to be more kinder and more approachable and get out of my own way and stop being so introverted. I get that. But at the same time, people who come on my screen and a podcast and see a white male in his 50s who then automatically prejudge me as not being accepting to their way of life and who they are as a person. It goes both ways. And I think we need more people holding space, holding the door for each other. That's why I call this dad space. We need more people holding space for each other and less people slamming the door on the people around them because they don't match up to a certain perception or level or identity. We need to be more accepting of others in everything that we do. Now, I'm going to share with you something that's happening here in my own family because I don't hear anybody talking about this from a dad's perspective. And you as a dad, you might hear this and go, wow, I didn't know that Dave was living through this in the moment. And it might make you think. And that's the idea for Dad Space, is I want you to think about this. I have three children. Adult boy, he's 27. I have, the oldest is a boy. My middle is my daughter Hadley, and my youngest is Sawyer. Sawyer, my youngest, is a dad himself, which turns me into a grandfather. Congratulations. And so I'm a grandpa at 54, which makes me feel weird to know that I'm a grandpa. My oldest is in a great relationship. He's doing well. I'm really proud of him. He's doing good things. My daughter is away from where we live. She doesn't live close to us. And she is in a relationship that when we had our daughter early on in life, we never thought we would be at this point with her and her journey. I'm being really open with you right now. My daughter is in a relationship with another woman. And they got engaged recently. And they posted on their socials that they got engaged and they showed the ring and all that. And their friends and their community were congratulating them. And my wife and I, Jen and I, we looked at each other and go, hey, what does this mean for us? Now, again, keep in mind, both Jen and I, in our circles and what we do in life, we interact with people who are in different stages of where they are in life than we are, than we, how we were raised. Okay. If I go back to the 70s, that was a time in the past for those listening. In the 70s, when I was in grade school, public school here in Canada, to hear of anyone that was in the LGBTQ community, anyone gay would be like confusing because it wasn't so predominant as it is today. There were no pride days. There were no flag waving. There wasn't like that in the 70s to the degree that it is now. And the commonality of that being part of the regular discourse of our human interaction wasn't there. So that's how we were raised, and that's how we're the product of our generation. Now, does that mean that we have to continue being the product of our generation? Can we grow and develop? Yes, we can. Words change, thoughts change, beliefs can change. And again, I go back to the humanity of this. As a straight male in his 50s, with 3 children, and a marriage of over 30 years, I'm wired one way. That's who I am, and I'm very happy with who I am, and I'm very proud of my kids. Now I'm at a point where I'm wrestling with how I was raised, with how my children are living their lives. When I was raised in a basically like a church-based background, and to live with your partner before marriage was frowned upon, and I didn't. Jen and I got married, and then we moved in together. That's how it worked for us, and that's how we were raised. And in my mind, that's was the only option. And I was happy with that, and I'm proud of that, because we have a great relationship, and I love my wife. She's amazing. So when we look at our children as they're growing up, we're thinking, I want for my kids what I had, and I want it to be better than what I had. So I had plans for my daughter to walk her down the aisle in a wedding. I had plans of freaking out her boyfriend and giving him the hard time and the gears and all that as a dad with a daughter. I never had that opportunity. I don't know what the future holds for her and her relationship. I want her to know that I'm proud of her. But let's go back to the finish line example I shared at the beginning. She's crossed a finish line. She's at a part in her life where she has been there celebrating, but when she looks around her friends and family, some of us haven't caught up yet. We're not there celebrating with her at the finish line. We're still a little bit lagging behind in the race, not out of judgment, but out of learning, out of growing, and out of finding how we can be the best supportive parents and loving parents that we can be, but still learning how to be a parent in that situation. Again, there's no books on this, really. Probably there is, but I haven't found anything that's helped. I haven't heard podcasts that talk about this. I haven't met another dad who's sitting in this chair the way I am. And in this moment, I feel completely unequipped to be a great father to my daughter in this journey. Now, you got to know, I would be hard on any person that my daughter would bring home to us and present to us as a future possible mate. You got to know, because I love my daughter, and our bond historically has been super strong. It's really being tested lately. And I feel like I'm not doing a good enough job as a dad for her. And I really do feel like I'm letting her down. And it's hard because I want to be there and I want to be at the finish line, anticipating her coming over that hill and running towards me and celebrating with her. But at the same time, I don't know how to be that person in the moment. I don't know how to get there. And I don't know how to get ahead of her so I can support and be there for her. So I'm learning. I haven't done this before. And as you look at your kids, if you look at your son or your daughter and they're like 5, 6, 7 years of age, jump ahead 20 years and you might be sitting in this situation and this going, what do I believe? How do I show up for this person that I love more than life? How do I give them everything that they need to be a success in life? How do I support them if they're on a path that I didn't anticipate? It could be more than just sexuality. It could be they went to a university that you didn't want them to go to. They moved to a different state or country or province. They did something different. You had a plan. You wanted them to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, and they're out there doing something completely different. This could show up in so many ways. For me, it's showing up with how my daughter identifies and her relationship Now, my wife has done more work with Hadley and her partner than I have, and that's a miss on my part. I need to do more to build that relationship. At the end of the day, no matter what my daughter decides, what my boys decide to do in life, the paths that they take, I can't predict and I can't force them to do something my way. When they were younger, I had more influence over their decisions because I was dad and they were under my roof and all that stuff that comes together with that. But your kids are going to pick a path that you might not choose for them. And in that moment, my question to you as a dad is, are you okay with that? How are you going to deal with that? Because I talked about this on a previous episode that 100 years from now, none of this matters. Really, no one's even going to know my name in 100 years. Nobody's going to really care about my story or my convictions because the world will be very different 100 years from now. Very, very different. There'll be someone else living in our home. There'll be someone else taking up our space and dealing with our stuff that we cherished. All that stuff was going to be different 100 years from now. And I will be irrelevant. So how I treat my daughter today is important because she's going to be here, God willing, a lot longer than I will be. And I don't want to do anything that destroys a relationship with my daughter. But at the same time, I wrestle with my convictions. I wrestle with how I was raised. I wrestle with my parents' example and how they taught me to be. In all of this, though, I was raised to love and cherish other people. Doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter if they have money or if they don't. It doesn't matter if they're educated or if they're not. It doesn't matter if they live with their partner or if they're married. It doesn't matter if they're divorced, if they're single. It doesn't matter who they love. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, my job as a human on this spinning planet is to love people, hold the space for someone, and give them value when others around them don't. So here I am struggling with my relationship with my daughter, struggling to be the best dad possible. My wife struggles to be the best mom to our daughter and to our boys possible. But then in our circle of life, we interact with people who are exactly like our sons, exactly like our daughter. And we seem to treat them different as strangers than we treat our own children. And I'm like, why is that happening? Why is it easier for us to interact with somebody who's transitioning from a man to a woman and give them space, but at the next moment, we talk about our family and we don't give them the same space, the same grace? Why is it a double standard? Why can we be one thing to one person outside of our family circle, but we can't be that to the families? The people in our own family circle, why is it harder for that? Is it because we created this person? That they're our own flesh and blood and we've known them since the moment they were born? Are we disappointed in their choices? Are we confused in their choices? Do we fully understand their path? Are we angry? Are we hurt? Do we feel alone as parents that we don't have the toolkit to be who they need us to be in this moment? There's so many things that we're wrestling with. And at the same time, I feel like I have a reporter sticking a microphone in my face going, what are your thoughts? Your daughter just announced she's going to get married to her partner. What are your thoughts, Dave? And I'm still here processing the news, processing my role as a dad, and then to give commentary. Again, let's go back to my default setting. I'm an introvert. I'm the person who's very reflective and I need to think about this. As much as I want to be quick on my feet and give you a response, I need time to think through this. And in that moment, my moment of reflection and pause seems like, to others, a lack of acceptance. I get judged, just like this person who thought I was an angry person because they saw a white 54-year-old male with gray hair and thought, well, they're never going to accept me because of who they are. Without even talking to me, they've already predetermined that I would not be an accepting person of their journey, of who they are, and I wouldn't be kind. These two, myself and this person, we refer to each other as friends. Hello, friend. Hello, friend. Now, partly because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Hi, sir. Hi, ma'am. You just see what I mean? So my default is I use their name and I don't refer to them by gender because I guarantee you, as a 54-year-old white male, that I am going to say the wrong thing. Up front, and that's why I said at the beginning of the podcast, I am probably said wrong things so far. And you're probably shaking your head like, oh my gosh, this guy. Yeah, this is me in real time. I'm learning and growing as I record this podcast. So here's my situation. I treat my daughter and I treat my boys differently than I treat others that are not related to me. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with the fact that I can't be the same person in public that I can be at home with the people that I love the most. It's very, very difficult for me to bridge that gap. And if you're listening to this and you have a way for me or advice for me on how to do this, I would love to hear from you. All my stuff's in the show notes. Reach out to me. Teach me. Help me. If you're a parent in a similar spot than I'm in, I need to talk to you. I'm not doing this podcast to give you answers to be a better dad. Sometimes I'm coming here with questions for you on how I can be a better dad. And you're listening to this going, I hope you hear the heart behind this. There's no arrogance here. There's no judgment here. It's me simply coming and saying, here's what I don't know. I'm fully aware that I don't know what I don't know. But in that, I need some sort of bandwidth and time and space, a runway, to get to the place where I'm better at responding to news, like from my daughter. Because I want to be there for her. I do not want to sever a relationship with somebody that I love. Because in my opinion, and the way I've been raised, and my filter, my default would have been to say, well, this child is on the wrong path. So then I'm going to cut him off. And again, I talked about the fact that my background is being raised in the church. And there's a story, a biblical story, that talks about the fact that it's around the prodigal son. But let's say prodigal child. And the basic context of it is that a man had two kids. And one walked up to them as the parent and said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go somewhere different and do something that you don't want me to do, but I want all of my inheritance and I'm going to take it with me. And I'm going to leave and I'm never coming back. I just want my money and I'm out of here. I don't want a relationship with you. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to do my own thing and there's nothing you can do about it. Give me my money. Give me my inheritance now. I'm not going to wait for you to die. I just need the money. Let's go. And I'm out of here. And so the father did. He gave that child what they would be as their inheritance and said, here you go. They wished them well. But the one thing in the story that sticks out to me the most is every day that dad would go out to the edge of their property and look towards the direction where that child went and how they kind of went toward the big city, for example. And they would stand there and wait every day. They would look over the horizon and wait to see if their child was coming back. And that child went off to the big city, got in trouble, lost all the inheritance, ended up being poor and homeless, had no food, no money, and came to the realization that if I just went back to my dad, back home. I wouldn't be having such a hard life. And they decided to go back home. And the fear that they had in their mind on the trek back home, as they walked the miles and miles and miles back to their dad, knowing that they had taken everything that their dad had, all of the money and inheritance and given to them, and they had lost it all on their way back to their dad. They're thinking, same thing I talked about with this person who thought that I was angry. They had this perception that when I arrive home, my dad is going to be angry with me. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to have to beg for a room and a bed to sleep on and maybe some scraps of food. I took all my dad's money. I took everything that was going to be mine in the future. I took it all and I wasted it. I lost it all. And I'm anticipating this is going to be a tough conversation with my dad. And as this kid is on their way back, they get to the crest of the hill and they can see their property. They can see where the house where they grew up. And as they come over the ridge of the hill, there's a person standing out on the yard, looking in their direction. And it's dad. And in that moment, the child looks at the dad and goes, "He's waiting for me." And the dad didn't go into the house and slam the door, lock the door. The dad did something very, very unexpected. The dad started to run towards the child that had left as they were walking back home. The father didn't wait for the child to come back and grovel at his feet and beg for forgiveness. No, he ran to his child who had left him and is now returning. He ran to them. He did something unexpected. He was in the place where he could make judgment. He could make it very difficult for his kids, or he could make it super easy. And the one thing that the father said is, "The child that I thought was gone, was dead, that I would never see again, is home." And he welcomed the child back. And in that moment, my story to dads is, whether or not you have a faith journey or not, that's irrelevant in this. Whether or not you believe in the Bible and all that stuff, that's irrelevant. The story is, if your child made a decision and went a path that you didn't pick for them, would you celebrate their return? Would you create space for them? Would you be waiting for them? Would you hold out hope for them that your relationship would be better in the future? Or would you write them off? Would you write off your own children? Would you sever that relationship and walk away? Would you make it uncomfortable for them to come back? Would you cut off the bridge of communication? Would you stop trying? There are dads listening to this right now that would say, "Yeah, I would. I don't have it in me to support that lifestyle, support that decision." Nope. One of my kids, we had some money sitting on a countertop here in the house. It was earmarked for a purchase we had to make, a bill that we had to pay. We put it there and my wife and I went out, did some stuff, came back, and the money was gone. And I went to my kids and I'm like, "Hey, does anybody," like, we looked everywhere, checked all our pockets, checked the car. We, you know, $50 bill. It's not a big deal, but it's gone. And in that moment, we grilled our kids. "Guys, do you know where the money went? Like, we need this to pay a bill. Like, we got to pay it today. And that's the last $50 we have. And I have to pay the bill." And they all said, "Nope, no idea. Didn't see it." Turns out one of them did see it, had taken it to the local store, bought credits for their gaming system to buy some things within a game, and we found out later that that's what had happened. So we were lied to. Has your kids ever lied to you? Has your kids ever done something that you felt was a breaking of trust. In our lack of responding to our daughter's post, her thought in the moment was that we don't approve of her as a person. Again, we're not there yet. We're not the finish line celebrating with her on the news of her engagement. We're on a journey to get there. Might take some time, again. But we are on a journey to be there for her and everything she does, because we love her. I think, took our lack of response as an indication that we weren't supportive. And in that moment, made a judgment and said that my family doesn't care about me. And that is the worst feeling as a dad, to feel that your daughter might think that way of you, because it's not the intent. Our intent is to be there for our daughter no matter what she does, where she goes, who she is, or what she becomes. And I just think, in all of this, as you walk towards that door today, and you look behind you and there's someone carrying baggage or things in their hands, there's no way they can open the door. Will you wait and be inconvenienced for a moment to hold that door for somebody? To put someone else ahead of you? You're late for the meeting. You got to be where you got to be. You don't need to be there. You're rich. You got more money than you can count. And here comes a homeless person with that "we'll work for food" sign. And they don't smell that great. And they haven't had a shower in weeks. And would you stand there and hold the door for that person? There's that person that you don't really get. You don't understand their journey. And they're looking to you for support. Would you hold the door for them? You're in the gay community and you look at a white 54-year-old male on the screen for the next podcast recording and you judge me as not being accepting or loving or caring because you think that I'm just like everyone else. Are you holding the door for me? I think we all need to do better. And after 100 episodes of Dad Space, I'm hoping the conversations you hear in this podcast, through the amazing guests that have come on this show, that you're learning a little bit more about being a dad, being a good example, loving your kids. And if your children are like under 10, the thought of them and who their future partner is so distant right now in the moment. You have not even really thought about this completely. And the idea that your children might take a path that you didn't anticipate, it's not even in your mind. But my point to you is to pour your love into your kids now, so that no matter where they go in life, wherever they end up and whoever they end up with, they know that you love them first. They know that you are their safety net. My comment back to my daughter when she sent us the message about getting engaged was, wow, that's big news. And remember, I loved you first. I would have said that to whoever she chose in life, because it's true. I was the first person, the first man in her life to love her. And I will be the last man in her life to my last day to love her the way I do. And no one else will love my daughter better than I can. No one. No other relationship. They can try. And I want them to try hard because my daughter deserves the best in life. But I want you to know, whoever's listening, dating or engaged to my daughter, you got a big hill to climb to love and support her as much as I do. And even though I'm not perfect, I'm on my way to the finish line to help her. And that's the best I can do right now. And for my daughter, if you're listening to this, just know that your dad is proud of you. And I'm on a journey to be there to support you. It might not seem like I'm doing it all at once, but I am there for you. One step at a time. And I might be 10 steps behind you, but I'm still one step behind you at all times. Dads, love your kids. Remember that 100 years from now, none of this matters. The only thing that matters is how you loved your family, your partner, your children, and how you showed up in this world. Everything else, not important. Be the dad you can be. Be the best dad you can be. And here's to another 100 episodes of Dad Space. I will do my best to do another 100 episodes, and I'd love for you to stay and stick around for the journey. And again, if you're out there listening and you're like, I have something that'll help Dave and Jen as parents in this, I would love to hear it. I'd love for you to come on and have a conversation. I want to learn. I want to get better. And to that person in my circle who thought I was scary and angry and someone unapproachable, I'm so glad that we're friends. I'm so glad that even though I don't understand your journey and I don't understand everything about what you're going through, we need more love and acceptance in this world, even if we don't understand the results. Show up, show love, be the best, and do the best you can with what you know. And uncover the things that you don't know and find somebody smarter than you who can lead you on a path, become a better person. Thanks for listening to Dad Space. And to my daughter, congratulations. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.